The Lord Jesus tells us today in the Gospel of John that we are to love one another. This is probably one of the most quoted things that we tell people when we describe what being a Christian is supposed to be. Yes. But how many times do we find ourselves having difficulty with this command to love? Mother Paula used a story during her sermon the other week, and it was a powerful way for us to get the message she wanted to give us. I'm going to present two stories that describe how this love that Jesus is asking us to share can be transformative. It will hopefully change the way that we think and act with each other. The first story I'm going to share is how this love can overcome an almost unbelievable division. I'm going to ask you to imagine yourselves as one of the people described here and imagine how you would react. In 2005, Jamel McGee, a black man in Benton Harbor, Michigan, was minding his business when he was stopped by a police officer and was arrested for dealing drugs. The trick here was that he didn't have any drugs on him. The police officer planted them and accused him so that he could up his quota for drug arrests that week. Jamel went to prison for 4 years and lost everything. Well, there is some good here, because Andrew Collins, the police officer who falsified the arrest, was finally caught for doing this to Jamel and several other innocent people. He was tried and served 1.5 years for false arrests, planting drugs, and stealing. Now, we know that this officer is not a representation of the honest public servants who keep us safe every day as police officers, and we are so thankful for the service that they give. So even though the innocent man, Jamel, was exonerated of his crime, he had already spent those several years in prison. And when he was released, all he had on his mind was to find this cop and, well, hurt him. Here is where some would say fate had stepped in. Benton Harbor is a small town, and would you know it? They both ended up working in the very same place. The Mosaic, which is a cafe in a faith-based employment agency. When the former policeman realized who Jamel was, he immediately apologized for how he had ruined his life. It's pretty good, right? Jamel said that was all it took. The former policeman apologizing to him for what he had done. Today, the two of them work side by side, and not only are they friends, but have said that it has grown to a level where they have great love and care for each other. A true and deep friendship that many would never imagine would happen. This is an example of what Jesus is saying when he said, "Everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." Okay, so take a moment. Wow. I'm sure some of you may have something in your life right now that if I ever meet that person again, I'm not going to speak to them because of what they did. Think of what that is to say, I have to love them. I need to love them. What does that do for me? This love is not always easy, but it is the way that we need to react to each other and live with one another. It is the attitude that we need to maintain even in times of trial. No pun intended. Sorry, I had to do that one. You got to think way back. Oh, yes, he was tried. Okay, all right. So let me tell you something about myself that will explain why it might be a little easier for me to understand how this commandment is so fundamental to all we do and why it is the core belief of myself and also of my husband, Jim. First, I need to give you a little bit of my background. When I was in high school, we were given an assignment to look up our family history and see where our ancestors were born. Well, I knew that my father's family history was from the island of Bermuda. My father has this family that goes all over the United States. They live everywhere and they have gigantic family reunions that meet, and they have a planning committee and they have officers, and I mean, it's major, it's major. So you can look back, I can look back, great, great grandfather, there's everything in the world if you want to do that. I took my kids to it once and wow, they were blown away. But my mother's side was a mystery. My mother looked white, and in fact, during the time when there were the white and colored restrooms, waiting rooms, and water fountains, my mother would use the ones designated for white people because they were cleaned and always working, also safe. Upkeep was never a priority for the facilities left for the colored people. So with this project, I was finally able to find out that I had Native American roots, Apache, and even linked to Geronimo, which is why it was kept a family secret. Geronimo was thought of as a criminal. Now suddenly, I understood why we had so many rugs and blankets with a certain design that I didn't see in any other people's homes, and that we had some customs that other people did not share. Well, as I delved further over the years, I began to see that how I was raised was also different from others. My native upbringing had taught me to think of all people in the world as being connected, because we were humans. We were centered on the roots of the earth. Whether I was in a building 20 stories high, I still felt a connection to the earth below. Our family was very religious, and so that connection to the earth was also a connection to God, who was and is the creator of all. This connected me to every living being and creature. Even the inanimate things are a part of the creation of our God. Most importantly, you and I are all connected. Because we were created by the Most High God, the creator of all. So this idea of being deeply rooted and connected applies to us also, all of us today. We are here together worshiping the resurrected Lord. The Easter season is the root and the foundation of our faith, the foundation for all we do as Christians. It is this belief of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection that ties us together, and it is the love of the resurrected Christ that gathers us together in this church today. It is Christ that calls us to love. This love is the connection that bridges any disagreements or differences we may have with each other. This love is our connection with each other and everybody. So here's my second story. Some of you know that I spent my spring break this year giving a tour of New York City to two people who have never been to the city before. I did it as a favor of my best friend who was going and taking them. How many of you have been to New York City? A lot of hands, right? Well, one of them was in her 60s and it had been on her bucket list for years. Now also, she'd only been on a plane once, and it was 39 years ago. So I'm remembering back then when they used to give you a meal, you know, you choose with the chicken and all that. So she's probably waiting for that meal, and her peanuts came, her little peanuts. Well, I'm sorry, you also have a choice of pretzels. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I promised to give the three of them a full immersion of the city. I used to do this. I used to give a one-day, a two-day, a three-day tour if you loved museums, if you loved parks, et cetera, et cetera. So in fact, I had not lived there for quite a while, but as soon as I hit those familiar streets, it was almost like I never left. The reason I tell you this story is that this city is alive. So those of you who have been there know that. And everything is happening around you constantly. You see some of the most spectacular sights, and they did. I took them to all the big guys. I took them to see everything. We walked 36 miles over 4.5 days. You also see some devastating things, though. You know, such as people sleeping over grates on the street to keep warm, huddled against buildings asking for handouts, holding signs up, begging for help. One thing I always did when I lived there was to share food with those who were hungry. I would buy an extra burger or slice of pizza when I could and give it to someone who was hungry. So the very first day, we went to a healthy burger joint. You also know that probably costs a lot of money too, but they were healthy. Lines out the door to go to this place. And we ordered burgers and fries, of course. They were really slow on one of our orders and gave us an extra order of fries to make up for it. Well, we ate our burgers and hardly touched our fries. Literally, only two of the five baskets of fries had even been touched. My companions were ready to throw all those fries out with the trash. I said, wait. Look at that table of teens over there. There was this large group of young people around several tables that they had pulled together, and they were sharing a couple of burgers, and there was not enough food to go around. When I brought the fries over to them, they were so thankful, they started screaming in joy. So it began. Every meal that we ate, we had an overage of food, because you know how large everybody makes the portions today, right? I started to ask for to-go containers at the beginning of our meals and would take the items out that we knew that we weren't going to eat and assembled meals to give to people. The three people I was taking on this tour teased me about this and sometimes even told me to stop it. But on the last night of our touring, we had gone to one of the top restaurants in Chinatown. Because they said, let's really spend it and let's go to something elegant. And guess what? It was these three same people that ended up packing up our platters of food that we had left to a shopkeeper they gave them who hadn't eaten all day. They enjoyed doing it. Well, this outpouring of love for our fellow human beings was not just limited to food. I had them speaking to the cab drivers who drove us all week and getting into conversations with other people while we waited in long lines. They talked to the cashier at the drugstore, the person who worked behind the desk at the hotel. Our servers in those restaurants we went to were now people to them. My husband and I do this all the time. So we just talk to everybody and get to know everybody. So when our tour was over, they said it opened their eyes to how friendly people could be. I believe this is the love that Jesus speaks of and tells us to give to one another. We are a part of this world that God created. We are called to care for this world and all that is in it. It is through this love that we can do this. This love is what makes us want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. It is this love that calls us to want to put together the meals that we give at Shank School. The love that draws us to help plan and assist with the Arts for Peace summer camp. that we're going to hold here at St. Luke's for the kids in the neighborhood. It is love that brings us to the hospital bed of our friend or to someone who we're visiting because they have no one. The lyrics of that song, "Love Makes the World Go Round," our world, are real. It's true. It is in the absence of that love that we see the tragedies and the horrific things that have happened over history. Our job as Christians is to bring that love to wherever we are, whomever we are talking to or spending time with, and wherever we may go. Our job is to be ambassadors of love. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Sharing the love that Christ commanded us to have for each other. Though Jesus said it was a new commandment that he gave us, it is really pure grace for us to share it with one another. And I just want to end with reading the text of the third verse of the hymn that we just sang. Because it says, "Give us, O God, the strength to build the city that hath stood too long a dream, whose laws are love, whose crown is servanthood, and where the sun that shineth is God's grace for human good." Amen.